you've got to get their attention. So how does that conversation go when you're pushing information up the chain of command, if you will?
Yeah, great question. And I do think you really need to educate them on the consequences of not paying attention to these things. I mean, yep. Typically I've found that at least good board members are scared of lawsuits and, you know, they don't like to wear orange any more than I do. So you really at least get their attention by talking to them about the consequences of not listening. I mean, the eyebrows went up in the room when I had my annual training session a couple years ago and talked to them about the Bluebell issue and what that means to them personally, financially, potentially, or even from a criminal perspective, potentially. And I think that's the way you get their attention, and then you can impart the information.
And if you don't mind, I'd like to jump in on that. And then yeah, David can go. We keep interrupting poor David.
David will get to speak at some point.
I'm just the promise here.
Okay. when you said that, I thought about how I handled my annual training last year. So NTT is the political subdivision of the state, which means we're governmental. So the things I train my board on is going to be more bribery. We've got very specific things in terms of conflicts that they have to either disclose or they can't vote. And so I train them on that as well. But I also train them on some typical laws that we have to deal with, like the Open Meetings Act. So what you may not know, you may kind of know, all governmental entities, at least on the state side, I'm not as familiar with the federal side, they have to have open meetings, which means that a quorum of the board cannot communicate outside of a board meeting, which think about all the times your board members talk about issues, that type of thing. My board members can't do that. And so I gave an example. So conveniently, about a year ago, one of the ISDs had an Open Meetings Act violation where the board chair and the vice chair of an ISD were texting two different groups of board members. And you think, oh, that's fine. Different. It's not a quorum, right? But there's something called a walking quorum. And so I was able to show my board members, I'm like, see this picture? This is the mugshot of the vice chair of the ISD who violated the Open Meetings Act. You might think, oh gosh, Dina, you're just being so dramatic about this. I'm like, I'm not. Don't be this guy. So I managing up for me is a little bit humor because I get a little bit of I'm a little bit younger than they are as well. They've been doing this for a while. And so those are things that like specific examples, humor, pictures, it helped. They listen.
Well, I think real-world consequences are a big educational factor.
Yeah, working backwards, I mean, some of the things that we also recommend is, look, if you're trying to train up or manage up, this is a great opportunity to just give, the shit task to outside counsel, essentially. Tell them, I don't want to have this conversation with my board. I don't want to have to be the one to tell them, you could go to prison if you're doing this. You come in, you give the 45-minute presentation, you answer the rough questions, and then I get to go back and having the, cooperative relationship with my board so that I don't have to be the one to do that. And, outside counsel is happy to do that. We also, frankly, see this over and over again. So we have the war stories that we can give them of instances in which, bad actions taken by the board or inappropriate actions taken by the board or ignorant actions taken by the board have resulted in, the mugshot that Gina's talking about. And so, that's obviously something that you as GC don't want to have that experience in. You don't want to have those war stories. We unfortunately do. And so it's an opportunity for us to be able to provide that to them. In terms of the training, so cadence is incredibly important. Lori was talking about this continuous improvement aspect. And one of the things that we often talk about with boards is the fact that DOJ and the SEC are incredibly upfront nowadays about the fact that corporate compliance is something that they look at when they evaluate companies for purposes of determining what a sanction would be, whether to offer you, a settlement or a deferred prosecution agreement, whether to require disgorgement, how big that disgorgement should be. And there are elements of what they've established and what they call, the elements of a corporate compliance program that speak directly to the heart of not just what your company is doing, but what the board is doing. So there is a continuous improvement element that they evaluate. Is the company as a whole continually evaluating compliance topics, ethics topics, continually trying to identify whether there are areas of improvement? And then there's another element of tone at the top. What is the company doing from a top-down approach to show and demonstrate to its employees, to its vendors, to its partners, that ethics and compliance is something that they care about? And that starts with the board. It's not a C-suite level and below issue. They look to see whether or not the board is actively engaged and whether the board is actively receiving notice and advice from compliance and from the GCs about what is going on at the company.